This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Fraud charges likely on the horizon for Ernst & Young.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Welcome to the Morning Open, when we take a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts its trading day. Ernst & Young may be facing civil fraud charges for its role in the Lehman Brothers collapse. More on that in a minute. But first, let's take a look at the markets. Where's Wall Street? Looking good. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 4 points, less than 0.1%, to 11,496. The NASDAQ up 5 points, 0.2%, to 2648. And the S&P 500 up 2 points, 0.2%, to 1246. The Wall Street Journal reports this morning that accounting firm Ernst & Young might be facing fraud charges. New York prosecutors reportedly accused the accounting giant of playing a key role in helping Lehman Brothers hide about $50 billion in losses. Forbes magazine accounting watchdog Francine McKenna says this is serious.
Ernst & Young signs off on financial statements and did so every single year, all the way up to the failure, with no qualifications, no insistence on any additional disclosures.
Lehman's collapse in 2008 kicked off the financial crisis. Here to talk a bit more about the implications of this is Julia Coronado, chief economist for BNP Paribas. She joins us live from New York. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
Julia, do you think we're going to see more charges like this one?
We probably will see charges like this. We've already seen some charges against financial firms related to the Madoff case. There's just been a lot of losses that have been suffered, and there's a desire to get some retribution for those losses.
We saw Dodd-Frank financial regulation passed this summer. Why haven't we seen some of the effects of this regulation already?
Well, what Dodd-Frank did was leave a lot of the details open to regulators' interpretation. So regulators are just putting in place the committees and the departments needed to establish those rules. And what we're going to see in 2011 is a lot more specifics about how Dodd-Frank will be implemented and what the implications will be for various businesses.
Okay. Well, what kind of year did financial institutions have in 2010?
Well, 2010 was a mixed bag. So, of course, 2009 was sort of a recovery from the abyss. There was lots of increased activity, and most financial firms did really well. But, of course, we've seen the recovery be fairly choppy. The housing market, different areas have experienced their ups and downs, and that has translated into ups and downs for the financial industry. So on balance, it's been an okay year, but again, it hasn't been a uniform great year across the board. And I think probably with the implementation of Dodd-Frank on the docket for 2011, it's going to be, you know, that much harder to find ways to make profits for financial firms.
Julia Coronado is chief economist for BNP Paribas. Thank you, Julia.
It's my pleasure.
Asian markets were down a bit this morning. That on news that South Korea conducted live fire drills near the border with the North today. North Korea had said it would retaliate if that happened. It backed down this morning, but did call the drills reckless provocation. But what happens if it gets worse? How would that impact the global economy? Marketplace's Asia Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joins us to talk about this. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, Stacey.
Rob, we know South Korea is a growing international high-tech and car maker. Could these drills end up impacting Korean businesses and exporters?
The short answer is no. Today's drills caused some ripples in Asian stock markets, but we didn't see assembly lines shut down or anything like that. It's worth mentioning all the products South Korea exports to the U.S. and the rest of the world, cars and lots of electronic gadgets. The country's a big steel exporter, too. So the question is, would a military confrontation impact the global supply chain of all these products? I posed that to Korea expert Fang Xiaoyu at Fudan University in Shanghai, and here's what she told me.
If it were a conflict that lasted a matter of days, then there wouldn't be much of a global impact. Local markets would fill that gap and prices would remain stable. If it were a full-scale war that lasted years, then yes, there'd be an impact, but that's very unlikely.
Why does she say unlikely?
She said it was unlikely because South Korea's economy is just way too important to the U.S., China, Russia, and Japan for any of those big powers to just sit back and watch something like that unfold. South Korea is China's third largest trading partner, and we've just signed an historic free trade agreement with them. You know, this type of scenario isn't likely to happen despite all the media hype.
Asia Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Stacey.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. And by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com.
Americans have been taking to the malls this holiday season. MasterCard's Spending Pulse reports sales of everything from clothes to jewelry is up this year. Part of what's putting us over the top, though, may be coming from down under. Over the weekend, the Australian government announced it's launching an investigation into shoppers buying goods in the U.S. and other countries to avoid high prices and taxes in Australian stores. Stuart Cohen has more from Sydney.
This year, Australian shoppers are finding bargains and buying them from American websites like Amazon.com and eBay. Even with international shipping charges tacked on, some things are as much as half the cost. Thanks to the weakness of the U.S. dollar, Australian buying power has been near a record high for over a month. For some Aussies out doing their Christmas shopping, buying from the other side of the world is an attractive option.
With the dollar being so strong, yes, it's really good to bring things in from the States at the moment.
It's a lot more convenient, especially with the shopping centres being so busy.
Australian stores admit they lag behind in online offerings, but they say the recent shopping spree is eating into their bottom line. The country's assistant treasurer, Bill Shorten, wants to ensure Aussie businesses get their fair share.
What we think is important to answer is how can government participate to ensure that our very vibrant retail sector remains strong and competitive in the future.
The government allows purchases up to $1,000 to be imported without a 10% sales tax, something retailers say puts them at an unfair disadvantage with the U.S. In Sydney, I'm Stuart Cohen for Marketplace.
If you have any comments for us, we'd love to hear them. Send us a letter at letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Who says you need good business sense to start a company?
I started Threadless without even knowing how we were going to print the t-shirts. I think that's where the innovative business model was formed, was in my ignorance.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. How to turn a t-shirt company into a going concern and keep it creative at the same time. That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.